Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you go to the Mariners Hall of Fame there at T-Mobile Park, back in that back hallway there, you will see different players who have won great victories for the team. People like Randy Johnson and Ken Griffey Jr. and Edgar Martinez. If you go to the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville, my dad was just there recently, you will see profiles of different people who have done great things for that genre. People like Hank Williams and Patsy Cline and Waylon Jennings and Emmylou Harris. If you go down the Walk of Fame on Hollywood Boulevard, you will see people who have attained some level of fame for a variety of different reasons. There, you will see people like Humphrey Bogart and Meryl Streep and even Mickey Mouse and Weird Al Yankovic. This is sometimes how we think of the saints. We think of the saints as these Christians who have won great victories for God. We think of the saints as people who have done great things for Christianity and who have achieved some level of fame for having done so. And this isn't necessarily wrong. In fact, as I mentioned, there's a calendar of remembrance for these various saints throughout history. We do have a list that the church treasures. And it is a list of people who have done great things for God. It's a list of people who have been remembered and celebrated by millions of Christians over hundreds, in some cases more than 1,000 years. It is good to remember not only the people of the Bible, but people throughout church history. People like Perpetua and Felicity, these brave young women who defied Perpetua's pagan father and were martyred for their faith in Jesus in the 3rd century. It's good to remember people like Gregory the Great, the reforming pope of the 7th century. It's good to remember Francis of Assisi, the renewer of the church in the 13th century. To remember and celebrate these saints is not a Catholic thing, as people sometimes worry about. It is a Christian thing, or at least it ought to be. It is certainly a Lutheran thing. The only beef that the Lutheran reformers had with the saints is that they not be prayed to and that they not be seen as mediators of salvation. That's Jesus' job alone. But otherwise, the Lutheran reformers thought it was good to remember and celebrate the saints. In fact, it says in our Augsburg Confession, concerning the cult of saints, our people teach that the saints are to be remembered so that we may strengthen our faith when we see how they experienced grace and how they were helped by faith. Moreover, it is taught that each person, according to his or her calling, should take the saints' good works as an example. So we do remember and celebrate the saints, particularly those who are given a place on the calendar of remembrances for the church. We remember them for all that God has done through them. But today is kind of unique. Today is All Saints Sunday. So today we remember all the saints. And our gospel reading for this morning, as we celebrate all the saints, it moves our gaze from the saintly hall of fame down to places and people who are far less likely to be thought of as saints. A saint, after all, is merely someone who has been blessed by Jesus, someone who's been made holy by him. A saint is someone who has been brought to faith in him. St. Paul uses the term saint as synonymous with believers. A saint is simply someone who has been claimed by Christ and made holy through his word. And these aren't always the people we think they are. As we heard in our gospel reading for this morning, Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be filled." Here, Jesus is bestowing his blessing on those who have little, those who are just scraping by day, week by week, people who have very little influence or power in society. These are people who, in Jesus' time, were thought to be cursed by God. And here is Jesus blessing them, proclaiming his blessing upon them. Jesus goes on to say, "Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh." Here Jesus is blessing those who hurt, those who grieve, those who feel lost and defeated rather than strong and victorious. And here again, in Jesus' time, it was thought that people who were suffering, it was thought to be brought about by something they had done. It was a consequence of their sin. They were to blame for their own suffering. This was a widespread belief in Jesus' time. So you even have the disciples at one point, you probably remember the story, where they go up to Jesus and they say, "Who sinned that this man would be born blind? Was it him or was it his parents?" Remember that? That's how people thought. And Jesus, of course, said, no, that's not how any of this works. And here we have Jesus blessing those who weep. Jesus goes on to say, "Blessed are you when you are hated and excluded and reviled and defamed on account of your faith in the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and be glad, for surely your reward is great in heaven." People often associate truth and goodness with what is popular in the moment, right? That still happens today. But here, Jesus is blessing those who are not popular or liked. He's blessing people who have been canceled by the culture for believing in the wrong things. Jesus is blessing those who have been cast out of polite society because of their faith in him. All of these wounded misfits are declared blessed. They are declared holy. They are declared saints. Not because of anything heroic they have done, but simply because the Lord Jesus has declared it to be so. He has declared it so by his word. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Of course, Jesus has some warnings to offer as well. "Woe to you who are rich and full and laughing and liked," Jesus says. Professor Matt Skinner at Luther Seminary, in his commentary on the gospel for this week, helpfully mentions that the word woe is not the opposite of being blessed. It doesn't mean cursed. It doesn't mean something bad. It certainly doesn't mean that you are damned. Rather, this woe word in Greek is a word of warning. It's, hey, look out. Watch out. Jesus is warning those who are wealthy and secure and happy and popular. And he's offering this warning for good reason. It is hard to receive the gifts of Christ when your hands are full and clenched. It is hard to enter into the kingdom of God when you already have a pretty nice castle for yourself. It is hard to be filled with the blessings of Christ when you're already pretty darn full of yourself. No doubt about it, there's part of each of us here this morning that needs to hear these warnings. But there are blessings to be heard as well. For those of you who are struggling financially, who are worried about making ends meet, those of you who feel looked down upon because of your economic status, Jesus this morning declares you to be blessed. He says, yours is the kingdom of God. For those of you who weep for the loss of loved ones, who reach under the covers at night expecting that familiar warmth to be there and finding only cold sheets, for those who want to call your mom or dad to share something special that happened, and then you realize in that brief moment that there's no one there to answer the phone anymore. For those of you who weep for any number of reasons, today Jesus blesses you. He gives you a promise that you will be comforted. For those of you who take flack for your faith, maybe you're mocked at work, or maybe you're excluded from certain social circles, or maybe you're teased by people, maybe even in your own home, maybe you're even teased by people in your own family. Today, Jesus blesses you. He says you're in good company, because that's what they did to the prophets, too. Jesus says that your reward will be great in heaven. I don't know if any of us here this morning, anybody in our congregation will make it into the Saint Hall of Fame, as it were. I have several people I would like to nominate for the Hall of Fame here. But I just don't know that any of us will end up on the Christian calendar of remembrances and end up being remembered by other Christians 1,000 years from now. But I do know that as saints, we have something even better than a spot on the calendar. We have an inheritance. St. Paul makes reference to this inheritance twice in our second reading for today. He says, "In Christ we have obtained an inheritance. When we heard the word of truth and the gospel of our salvation and we believed in it, when we were marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit, we were given a pledge of this inheritance." Paul prays that we would know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. The Lord Jesus has made us saints. And as saints, we are going to inherit a kingdom that is eternal. We have the promise that we will know that warmth of our loved ones again one day. We have received an inheritance such that we will receive a reward in heaven that is so great that all the suffering that we deal with in our lives will be gone like that. To borrow language from Tolkien, in this kingdom, everything sad will become untrue. This is Christ's promise to you, his saints. We are not saints because we have achieved Hall of Fame levels of holiness. We are saints simply and solely because Jesus has declared it to be so. It was declared to you in your baptism. You were made holy by grace in that moment. You were declared to be a saint and a child of God. You were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, just like Paul says. For those of you who are hurting this morning and may have forgotten some of this, Jesus declares it to you again through his word, saying, "Blessed are you, blessed are you. Blessed are you." Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing.